Hi, my name is Rett, and welcome to Listen Talent Hub podcast. So today we have a very interesting topic, and it actually almost every body of us have felt it or know somebody who has gone it through. So it is around us, it is in us. So I'm very happy to introduce today's guest, startup founder, CEO, and engineer. She has experienced team lead and trainer, but today she's stopping burnout for all the workplaces everywhere with her startup, Velbi. So welcome to our podcast, Pia Kuusmanen. Thank you for coming over the seas. Just the listeners know that she just came over the...
I took the ferry and it's very windy today. So it was rough seas and the boat was going up and down, but I'm here.
So thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
So most of our listeners are there today from Estonia. Mm. And maybe some of them have heard about you already. But maybe a little bit tell our listeners, who is Pia?
You know the important stuff. So yeah, founder of an anti-burnout company, Velbi. We've been going for about 1.5 years now. Mm-hmm. And we've only been a software company since last spring, really. So before that, we did consultancy. And now we're just sort of turning that into software. But who am I really? I suppose you could say that I'm that sort of, you know, we have this thing we say in Finland where you're like a straight A girl, which means that you're very driven to, you know, get the best grade. Mm-hmm. and do really well and sort of please everybody around you. And I think I had that for a really long time in my life. I wanted to really succeed and in doing so, like, you certainly do achieve some of the goals you have, but you also, at some point, you do end up burning yourself out as well, which is definitely what happened to me. And having been through that experience and having to take a really, really honest look at my life and how I lived it, and having come to the other side, I sort of realize that I'm a very mission-driven person in general. So I realize that helping others and making others more informed about how burnout happens and how you can stop it is something that I want to work on. And that's sort of how I ended up where I'm now, basically. That's long and short of it, I guess.
Thank you for sharing. We go more deeply to burnout and to Velbi as well. But we have some... Before we're getting serious,
so
a little bit serious. But before, we have some very traditional question as well. About the recruitment.
Yes.
Do you have any cool, funny, sad, weird story about the recruitment being a candidate or having, you know, hiring somebody yourself?
I have a sad one, and I have... I think an inspirational one. And then I have something that's not really a recruitment process.
Pick one.
Okay. When I was some years back, I was running operations for the Slush startup event in Shanghai. Mm-hmm. We were setting it up there. And we were looking for someone to run startup operations. And obviously, it being China... being able to speak Chinese and being familiar with the local ecosystem at that point was extremely important for that position. So we started recruiting, and then I get a message from Sweden from this like 19-year-old guy called Luve, who is saying, listen, I want to make events happen. Slush Shanghai is the place to be. I want to be there. I want to do this. I've done this and this and this in the local ecosystem. Pick me. And I'm like, I really like this guy, but dude, you are in Sweden. You would have to come over to China. You know no one here. And I mean, I like your attitude. We're also super young and like not a lot of experience. And I chatted about it with my then CEO. And I was like, this guy won't quit, because he was calling me again and going like, yeah, pick me. And we thought about it, and then we went, listen, at the end of the day, we can always find people to support us who know the ecosystem. But the kind of drive and commitment that this person was showing, willing to relocate to Shanghai from Stockholm, willing to do what it takes, chasing me down several times, then I just had no choice. I gave him a call and I was like, listen, just come over. Let's make it happen. And he ended up being fantastic on the team. And this to this day, he's currently running a lot of like international startup and technology events, you know, around the world. So that's, he made a career for himself in that. So that's a story that I will never forget for sure.
That's amazing. And then it's amazing that you gave this opportunity. It is super easy to just, you know, okay, never mind. I mean, maybe next time.
Yeah. I'm a stubborn person, but he was even more stubborn. And I usually like, if I think of the kind of people I want to work with in mm-hmm. general, I think the kind of mentality and attitude mm-hmm. you have and the way you treat other people mm-hmm. and your willingness to learn and to commit to that will always be more important than mm-hmm. what you did before, what kind of credentials you come in with or anything else.
Absolutely. I 100% yeah. agree with you. And most of the startup founders say the same, that, you know, you hire the motivation, you hire the attitude. The other things are important in some critical points yeah. as well. But those are the things, you know, you can't easily change the motivation and this drive people are having. So
yeah, that's true. And I mean, especially in a, like, we're super early stage still, like mm-hmm. we're only working with our first customers now. Mm-hmm. So we're a team of four people. So it's three co-founders and one employee. So mm-hmm. we've recruited our first employee. So especially in that situation, you need some skills, mm-hmm. but most of all, just like an early stage startup, it's honestly just a mess. Mm-hmm. you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
And then those skills that are needed today, I may not need it in 3 months.
Exactly.
So you better have the attitude, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You have to be ready for it and sort of willing to live in that mm-hmm. and to adapt to it and do what it takes to keep the dream going in a way. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So Pia, is there anything you would change today in the world if you could have the power?
Oh my God, so many things.
So what is the one thing that you know?
The one thing. The one thing I've been looking into recently is, I think, just inequality in wealth. Mm-hmm. And I notice a lot of conversation coming up on it because the more and more wealth is sort of concentrated on fewer and fewer people, the less and less our systems are serving people in general, and that drives sort of like a society where reaching for profit is the most important thing, and not necessarily, you know, taking care of people or you know, the other services you might need, welfare or stuff. So maybe that would be something I'd like to change, that it's more equally, you know, money is more equally distributed. There's less poverty and there's less, mm-hmm. You know, uber rich people as mm-hmm. well. Then there's climate change and all that other stuff. But obviously, like you asked me to pick one.
Yes,
so that's the one I'm picking now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now going to the burnout, you already shared that you have a personal story behind it.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And you're a little bit already mentioned like what took you there, because you are this always want to be the best,
right?
Right. But how, if you would need to like say like what is burnout? How do you define what is burnout?
Well, burnout is first of all, the World Health Organization defines it as a long term chronic workplace stress. Mm-hmm. We at Velby, we like to think that if you consistently exceed your personal boundaries at work, you are going to burn out. But I think like the important thing to understand about burnout is that it's not a medical condition as such, but it's just you exceeding your resources in the long term at the workplace. I don't know if I'm being clear about that.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, like, is it burnout only what can happen with you at the workplace?
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people ask me that. Like WHO defines it as a workplace mm-hmm. issue. Obviously, you know, we all have a stress budget in a way. Like, mm-hmm. there's only so much strain that we can take mm-hmm. So that we can recover from it for the next day, right? So obviously, whatever stress is going on in your life, be it at the workplace or be it in, you know, your relationship or your family, or something happens or you have a financial trouble, that all is going to take away from your stress budget. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that you are not, as an individual, responsible for most things around you. Mm-hmm. You are acting in an environment that is there for you. And the reason why the workplace is so important is that most of the research on reasons of burnout agree that there are about 15 key factors at the workplace that crucially affect our ability to function and our risk to having burnout or not. Mm-hmm. And the other reason why it's so important what happens at work is that we spend about 50% of the time we are awake at work. So, you know, this is why it's so important to remember that it is defined as a workplace issue, and it has a crucial role in whether we burn out or not, because otherwise you start looking at yourself and blaming yourself, mm-hmm. and then nothing will ever change, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so why I'm asking this, sometimes, you know, mothers are burning out, but I guess they are at the workplace in that sense, so this is how they workplace. But today we're mostly talking today about burnout, what happens at work, right?
Yeah, that's the context that we choose. Mm-hmm. In general, like, all right, so you asked for a definition. It's like a mental, physical, and emotional exhaustion, mm-hmm. long-term exhaustion that you can't recover from in a way. The context that I work with, that we work with, is the workplace, mm-hmm. in general. But obviously, we're all humans. So, like I said, whatever happens at home is going to affect how you do at mm-hmm. work, and vice versa. And it's important to not ignore that connection. But the area where I think the quickest win with the least input it can be had is the workplace, mm-hmm. like I said, because we spend so much time there. And it's such a big part of our lives and our identity as well.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea that, you know, we are the one whole thing. So it's not just only the work. There is a home. There are like all the other things, friends and everything are affected. So that's why I'm just asking about the burnout. We're talking about this maybe 50%. You mentioned 50% of the time you are awake. So you're working. So just, you know, understand like how much all the rest of the things you're going through every day, the family, the things are affecting the work burnout as well. But before getting like very like into it, so a little bit more. So what are the symptoms of burnout? So how do I know that I am burnout or somebody next to me is burnout?
Mm. Yeah, it is tricky. I'm not going to deny it. If it were easy, it wouldn't be a problem anymore. Mm-hmm. One of the things that seems to be quite universal globally, by the way, based on statistics, we know that about 2 or 3 out of 5 people are suffering from burnout symptoms globally. Mm-hmm. And the number is going up because anybody below 40s or millennials and Gen Z basically do actually care about mental health issues at work and are more aware of them. So the problem is getting sort of becoming more prominent and more urgent as we go on. But how can you tell, right? Mm-hmm. So we basically test for specific symptoms that that can help you identify. The first one is, are you feeling mentally exhausted? So you can ask yourself, am I mentally exhausted when I start the day? Does it feel overwhelming to get my tasks done? Do I feel, terror or dread starting? Does it feel incredibly difficult to complete a simple task that's usually easy to do? That's one thing you can sort mm-hmm. of, mm-hmm. you can give yourself a score on a scale if you want, like 1 to 7, for example. Physical exhaustion is another symptom. So, you know, you sleep, but you don't feel rested when you wake up in the morning. Or you just generally feel run down. You don't have the energy to do, you know, if you do sports or if you have like hobbies, you don't feel the energy to do those things anymore. And that's a clear sign, mm-hmm. again, of exhaustion. Emotional exhaustion is also a thing that you can ask yourself, like, how stable do I feel emotionally? Do I feel like I'm having more fights at home? Do I feel like I get angry or frustrated or cynical at work more often than normally? So these are the kinds of things you can start sort of looking into and asking yourself. And as you reflect, if you start to identify that yes for all three, mm-hmm. you're probably on the track to burnout.
Okay, so what is the difference, like when, right now, you were, what you were telling, what's the difference from depression? Like a lot of people are having depressions today as well. Is it different? Are they going together most often, or how do you see?
So first of all, I'm not a doctor.
Okay.
So I'm not even going to pretend to be a medical professional here. So that's, I just want to make that very clear. Uh-huh. First of all, depression is it's a clinical condition. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, in EU-wide, it has, you know, when you go to a doctor, they actually have a code that they can mm-hmm. assign you that there's a depression here. Mm-hmm. For burnout, that's not mostly mm-hmm. the case. So it's not really a defined condition, a medical condition that you treat in a specific way, in a certain way. So it's less defined in that sense. For example, in Finland, if you have a burnout, but you go to the doctor, you're not going to be able to get a burnout diagnosis, mm-hmm. right? So that's one thing. The other thing is that depression, and again, not a doctor, but I've seen up close what it's like. So it also usually involves like a long-term exceeding of your personal boundaries and stress budget. So you probably have been in some kind of a state of burnout before mm-hmm. being diagnosed with depression. It's very likely. I'm not saying it always leads to, you know, but obviously like similar things, like if you're strained and unhappy for a long time, you know, mm-hmm. burnout comes, and it's possible that depression also then comes if you don't do anything.
Yeah, I'm a little bit going back to those things that you evaluate yourself, like yeah. you have this or that. So most of the things, I mean, if I'm thinking like personally, I mean, I feel those things sometimes when I haven't slept well,
yeah.
you mentioned. And, yeah. and why I haven't slept well, they can be different reasons.
Yes.
My kids are sick. They've been like sick
right.
for 3 weeks.
Right.
Sick,
so yeah. I mean, yeah. Everybody's tired and frustrated.
Like yes. And then yeah. I feel like I can't, you know, open my computer. I can't finish my task. Do I have already burnout, or are I leading it? And is it something what's connected to the work, or actually it's connected my personal life that
right.
affects my work?
Well, it's always connected to everything that you do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to identify the root causes of what are causing you to burn out. And obviously, if your kids are sick and you have to juggle that and work, then, you mm-hmm. know, in short term, there isn't maybe much that you can do, but it's good to be aware how you're feeling so that you can, as soon as it gets easier, you can actually take it easy for a while to recover.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to be aware of that. What we do, and what actually the Finnish Institute for Occupational Health released this burnout assessment tool, like a scientifically validated way of assessing burnout symptoms at the end of last year as a third country in the world. So there's only like three countries who have this globally. And we have been following their work for a while. So that's how we also, we sort of base our work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually put people into three different baskets based on what they tell us. So it's like low, medium, and high burnout risk.
Mm-hmm.
So when you ask me, is like, I'm very tired, am I in burnout? Not necessarily, but you're on the way there,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's important to, if you want to, for example, keep track of how you're doing, maybe ask yourself these questions once a week. Write the answers down in a notebook, or if you like Excel sheets, have at it. Sort of like see how you feel day to day or week to week, and start to maybe understand what are the things that lead to that.
Mm-hmm.
Are those the things that I can change, you know?
Yeah, good ideas. So, but you also mentioned, when we go back, you said that you are the one type of person who wants to achieve and
right.
goal oriented.
Yeah.
Like maybe give us an example, or do you know, like, what type of people are more likely to burn out, or what industries they are working, or what your findings are today, or the world findings as well?
Well, one of the findings we have is that you're asking me what type of people mm-hmm. can burn out, and my answer is everyone. Yeah. You were mouthing, you were saying it with me, right? And that's like we were talking about
behavioral psychology with you before we started the podcast. It's like there's a decision-making framework in our lives. And the example is, and I'm kind of coming with the grocery store example,
yes,
is that,
it was a
yeah,
good one.
All right. Yeah, there you go. So when you go to the grocery store, you're going to be, you know, you look at all the different kinds of cereal. You have your Fruit Loops and your, you know, your sugar-coated, whatever. And you can pick the one that you want, right? But someone else has decided what's on the shelves and what are those products like and whether they're good for you or bad for you or, you know, and there are only so many choices and so much impact you can have on what you eat because somebody else decides what's in the grocery store in the first place. And the same thing sort of goes here in a way. It doesn't matter how resilient or self-reflective or good at keeping to your boundaries you are if the environment you are in is wrong and draining your energy. So anyone in the right, or actually in the wrong circumstances, in this can burn out.
So nobody is protected.
No one is safe.
No one is safe.
Very doom and gloom.
Yes, that's sad. But nobody wants to burn out, and no like employer wants their employees are burning out. So why there are so much burnout today? Because I mean, as I said, nobody wants it because like from the employer part, it's expensive.
It's very bad.
And you know, from the personal side, who wants to feel that down?
No,
so
you don't.
Why it's happening so often?
Oh gosh, there's a lot of reasons. Obviously, the first thing is that it turns out, and we're not very aware of what burnout looks like, what the symptoms look like, and certainly I didn't know that before. And the kind of person that I still am, I was asking my. I saw one of the questions like what kind of a CEO you are. So I asked my team about that, and my one of my co-founders said, likely to die trying to save the world. So that's a very honest assessment. And that's my struggle is to take care of myself as I'm trying to do the things that I'm passionate about. And I know that a lot of people who burn out are like that. They're passionate about getting things done and achieving things and becoming better and learning and they're interested in a lot of things. And at least for me, before I burned out, I had this sort of an illusion of invincibility. I thought that, you know, I'm doing well. This is not going to happen to me. It happens to other people. And I had to literally not be able to get out of bed. And I went to the doctor and they just immediately put me on sick leave before I actually realized that there was a problem. So I guess ignorance and some kind of a boundless optimism and no support from the environment to work in a healthy way, for sure.
Yeah, I understand when you haven't experienced yourself, then it's really hard to imagine. But today all the findings are saying like almost like, It depends on industries, but 50 to 80 people have burnout in one point of their lives.
Right.
How it still happens, like.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, you can go for a long time and exceed your personal stress budget without burning out. I spoke to one founder who set up a very, very successful business based out of Finland. He only recently went through, he's been public about this, so he went through a burnout experience himself, but he could go for 10 years before that happened, you know, working in a way that was not good for him. Because you can go on and you can push through a lot, but at some point your body is just going to tell your head that you can't go on anymore, and then you're going to,
exactly. If your mind doesn't tell your body to stop, then body finally tells
exactly, because your mind obviously doesn't know what it's doing. The way to stop that is basically, I think, first make people aware of how they are feeling and then be able to change and understand how to change their everyday lives and their ways of working together so that, you know, they become more healthy in that, in simple things like not working too many hours a day and stuff like that.
Just had a conversation with somebody. I don't want to mention their name, but they're saying that like, you know, goat founders, they it's okay to burn out at one point of their life because otherwise they don't know the boundaries.
I might know who you're talking about, but let's talk about it later.
What are your thoughts are around it? Like, is it burnout always a bad thing? Is it something that's one question, but another one is also like, do you know good for you as a founder,
right?
You have burned out,
right?
So are there very good examples of like very successful people who are never burned out? Is the second one. So maybe the one that we know, is there examples? And then is it always a bad thing to be in burn out?
Well, I mean, this founder that had built a unicorn company before burning out only burned out after having done that. So, you know, yes, there are people who haven't burned out who are very successful.
Maybe they just haven't noticed.
Well, that's the thing. Like, how can we really tell?
Mm-hmm.
I think the question is, well, you asked me, is burnout always a bad thing?
Mm-hmm.
I am very lucky to have recovered from that. I was able to get help. I had friends, I had support. I was able to go to government-supported therapy in Finland, which is fantastic. I was able to take sick leave. And I wouldn't be here now if that hadn't happened. But I also know that a lot of people struggle with recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you have children or otherwise a challenging situation in your life, you can't afford to not work or whatever, then you might never pull yourself back up. So you don't really know which category you're going to fall into until it happens to you. So I think it's better not to really even go there. And I believe that we are, as humans, I'm very idealistic. That's not a secret. So I believe that we're capable of learning the skills that we need to feel well in our lives and be relatively happy and perform well without having to burn out. I think it's possible. God, I hope I'm right.
Let's see what the statistics does in the next 10 years. Is it going up or is it starting going down as well?
Yeah.
But as well, most of our listeners are HR people, are founders of companies. They take care of their people, obviously.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would not listen to our podcast. So what employer could do? Like, as you were saying, the serial example that, you know, this is what we put out there. So what we have to put out there that our people are not burning out?
There's tons of stuff, but I'm going to give one practical tip.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. So as we have been working with tons of companies by now, there is one interesting thing that our data shows. Like I mentioned, we put we basically as we test and learn how people are doing, we basically put them in three baskets: the low, medium, and the high risk. Right. By the way, it's about 25% low risk, 50% medium risk, and 25% high risk. So one out of four people in the companies that we worked with, and we think it's probably quite universal, is in the high risk of burning out, should be going on sick leave. So that's a high number. So what we find, I mentioned this 15 factors, things like communication, psychological safety, so on, that affect how well you're doing at work. We saw how those factors affect your burnout risk. And mostly certain things come on top. Things like communication and prioritization and the amount of work are usually in like top five consistently. And they were consistently there for all the three groups. One factor moved out of all the 15 factors in a significant way. Do you want to guess what it was?
I don't know.
It's a tricky one.
I don't know. I think for me, it is like I need to know what the goal is. Like
prioritization is very important.
Not even, and why we are doing this.
Meaningfulness. That's one of the things that good leaders help you have. And when low-risk people, when low-risk people told us which factors affect how they're doing now, leadership was number 7 out of 15.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to medium risk, it goes to number 2.
Okay, then the first.
High risk, clear number 1.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, 40% of people are leaving the work because of the direct leave. So that, I
exactly.
guess, is the main
yeah. thing. Yeah, it's a tough job. Being a leader is a tough job. So what we recommend, again, what we see from research is that, well, your close reporter, your leader, mm-hmm. Should be there to support you. Mm-hmm. We recommend that if you can, the ideal ratio of team leaders to team members is about 1 for every 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that these team leads have the time and the mandate to get to know these people personally mm-hmm. and create a sort of trusting relationship with them so that their team members are willing to share difficult things with them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the tools that we recommend consistently that team leaders use is regular one-on-ones, mm-hmm. once a week,
mm-hmm.
half an hour. You can ask 4 questions. So you ask, what did you like about the week that you had? What did you dislike about the week that you had? What are your priorities in the coming week? And how can I help you with those?
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to increase employee engagement significantly, and that is going to help you have the conversations with your team that you need to have. So that's my sort of practical tip.
I mean, it's a very good tip. And then we have had also some podcasts when we are talking about the one-to-ones and why they are needed.
Oh, nice.
And
all right. Estonians, so your listeners are pros.
Estonians.
Yeah, your listeners are pros then. They've got it.
Can't say it's pros, but I mean, most like... Same in Finland, in Estonia, problem. Like, you know, if I have nothing to say that I'm rather not saying at all, and I'm
right.
not going to have like not like conversation that are not heading us. So that's actually the main problem from one-to-ones. People feel like they are not needed.
Mm.
But again, your finding is just exactly saying like opposite. They are crucial. They are needed. Even if you felt in this point they're maybe a little bit awkward at the beginning, but
yeah.
with the practicing the thing, then you get better, and then an end result is what is important.
Yeah, and I mean, the way I see it as a leader as well, is that by committing to having these conversations with the people on your team, you show them that it is important to you. If you're the one who keeps skipping them or doesn't commit to having those conversations, you're also giving them the message that they're not really that important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the conversation also stops.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this goes into like what I think about when I think about like what kind of a leader do I want to be, is one of the most important things is to follow through. So don't just talk about doing stuff. You actually have to do the stuff that you're preaching, right? Walk the walk, because people always can tell if you're faking it.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not, they don't want to be led by anyone mm-hmm. who is faking it, basically.
True.
Right.
Good ideas. So what about those leaders? Like, let's say you're a founder. There is nobody who is taking care of you. So who is taking care of the leads, the ones that have this
right.
we put a lot of pressure on them because you are the main reason why people are leaving and burning out.
Mm.
So who is actually and who is taking care of them?
Who is taking care of leaders? Are you asking like who
yes,
is taking
yes,
yeah
yes.
in general,
like,
right?
Who takes care of you, Pia?
Who takes care of
you.
Me?
Or generally the leaders. The
yeah, okay. Well, for me personally, I'm in a very fortunate position because I have been able to pick the people that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
So my founding team, well, our entire team is absolutely fantastic. And especially with my co-founders, we're able to share everything and support each other. So when one of us is feeling down and having a hard time, you can always go to your co-founder and they will help pick you up and they will support you. And we get through a lot of difficult stuff like that. So that having a good team around you.
Pick a good co-founder.
Yeah. And if you can, pick good people to work with you, because like, you know, as a recruiter, like that's one of the most important decisions that a company can make is like, who are they bringing in, right? So that's one thing. The bad news is that I think every leader who's listening to your podcast knows that it's a lonely job.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot, sometimes you can't really talk to anyone in the company about the problems that you have. And that's unfortunately a fact of being a leader sometimes. So the answer is, first of all, you have to take care of yourself. But I don't want anyone to be alone. So it's important to make sure that, first of all, you have a life outside of work that involves having good relationships with friends or loved ones. Have a support network of people who care for you despite whatever that you do for mm-hmm. living. You know, they don't care about that. They care about you as a human being. So it's good that your identity doesn't just rely on the job mm-hmm. because when things get hard on the job, where do you go to mm-hmm. For support? And I definitely benefit from having a mentor or a coach or something like that who doesn't judge me. And finally, if you have a chance to do it, go to therapy. Like, even if you don't think you have any issues, just go to therapy, because just having someone to talk to who is a professional mm-hmm. once a week or once every 2 weeks is going to make a huge difference in your life.
Cool. Oh, I'm a little bit time conscious. So, I want to talk about Velvi as well, what you do and how and thing. But as a lot of like people who are into the recruitment, I would like to touch this point. Like, a lot of people are changing the job when they are burning out. They feel it's they got enough.
Yeah.
They quite often, I mean, they change the company, but the role and the things will be same.
Yeah.
So and then I heard from first question is should be. Afraid. I mean, is it, first question, should we, when I'm in burnout, is it a good idea to just change the job or what should I do?
Okay. Yeah, so somebody who burns out is three times more likely to leave their job. Mm-hmm. Usually, like we discussed it, like the working environment might not be right for you. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, you have too much work or you have a bad manager or, you know, your values don't match or... Mm-hmm. And if those things are not likely to change, then yes, it's a good idea to leave mm-hmm. the company and find something that suits you better. Usually what happens to people with burnout is that they need to reflect on what their values are, what their needs are. And one of the reasons why they leave is that they realize that where the company that they're with now doesn't meet those needs, right?
Or the leader doesn't meet those.
Or the leader doesn't meet those needs, exactly. So, and yeah. Go on.
So one thing is the working environment. So then, yes, good idea. Change just another environment. But what about if it's not the role? Can it be that I have picked the wrong role?
Yes. It can be. I guess the important thing is that if somebody goes on sick leave and they come back, that person is worth their weight in gold to your company because they made an active decision to stay, mm-hmm. first mm-hmm. of all. So you can learn from them, first of all, how you can help people with difficulties to go through that difficult time and stick with the company. Those people are likely to be very dedicated employees because if you help them, they're going to help you back. Mm-hmm. Like they see you making the effort. And it's good to remember that when somebody goes to sick leave for burnout and comes back, they're not going to be 100% straight away. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to readjust to working and you are going to have to figure out with them what kind of a role they need to have, how much they can work, you know, what kind of environment do they need. So being on top of that, if you're an HR person, for example, and making sure that you're listening and trying to accommodate as much as possible is mm-hmm. super, super important.
So now that was a good example when people are coming back to your company. I mean, they have thought it through, they have been your company, the one that it's
right.
been, so there is good like foundation to move. But let's say they don't pick this company. So I'm this another company who is recruiting
right.
and looks like a good candidate. Have no idea about their burnout mm-hmm. so far. So. I mean, I know people, I mean, hiring managers are really afraid to hire people who been burnout should be. Mm. Be afraid of people who have burnout from other companies, or how we should we ask about it, or what?
Well, in a lot of places, it's illegal to ask about it. At least in Finland,
right? But it's not a medical situation. You ask about why you were leaving, and then you understand people burned out, and then quite often they talk about it. Should
True.
Be afraid of it when people are saying it, and as a candidate as well, should have mentioned even that I burned out because I mean.
Yeah, so there are risks. I can see it because you're afraid that you won't be recruited if you talk about it, which is a valid fear. Mostly because we still as a society, and I understand that we feel that a person is a failure if they burn out. There's something wrong with them, which of course we know is not the case.
No, it's a serial there.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors, mm-hmm. but obviously, how should I put it? If someone has been through burnout, it really depends, I think, because if you've recovered, then that's probably a superpower for you because you've pulled yourself back up. You're probably quite intentional about what you're doing now, right? And that person probably cares a lot about the kind of company that they want to work for, is probably very committed if they feel they're in the right place. But if someone is obviously in recovery, if they come and work for you and if you pick them, I think it's the same thing as if someone were coming from a sick leave, that if you help them grow into the company and onboard them and support them, I think you're going to get a very committed employee. But it's tricky, I know, because
in a startup, you're in a, you know, I know, in a hurry. Yeah. You need to, you know, deliver, the investors are waiting, yeah, the market is waiting, I'm running out of time. So
it's tricky because, like, in a recruitment situation, do you really even know? Like, you can't really ask, and it depends what they tell you. I think at the end of the day, you're going to have to make a judgment call.
I think maybe it's, I'm just thinking out loud, maybe it's right now to the candidates, like, really think of where you're going. Is it the right place for you? Because you know the situation, and there are maybe places that are more supportive. Is it a fast-paced startup that you want to take a next step? Or is it a well-established company already who has the programs and have the support you need and you can, you know?
That's also true. And one of the things that it's important for you to think about is that what's the environment you want to be in? So if the fast-paced, like the startup world isn't for everybody. That's a fact. Like, because it, like I said earlier, it's a mess.
And but if there's a money, there is a equity possibilities, everybody get a millionaire, why I'm missing it out?
Yeah, exactly. Or you could go bankrupt in 6 months' time. You know, you never know.
Burn out and never want to work again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So certainly, like, as a recruiter, well, you have a responsibility to your company. You have a responsibility of making sure that whoever you bring in, they're able to fit in and you're able to help them do their best work and be well. It's the candidate's responsibility to steer their own career as well and take responsibility for where they apply and what kind of work they want to do. So I think on both sides, you just need to people be more aware of what they're looking for, right?
Cool. Pia, but tell me now about a little bit more about Velbi as well. What are you doing? What it is? Is it solving the problem, the burnout problem?
Yeah, we're basically, like I mentioned, like, we helped companies identify and work on building a healthier culture as consultants. And now we're just trying to figure out a way to deliver that through software. Velbi has a well-being assistant called Linda who lives in your Slack and basically helps every employee every day with, like, less than a minute a day to reflect and learn how to work in the best way, so that they can perform well, but they can also feel well and avoid from burning out. And basically, we're just recreating the whole working culture of companies with this, like, bottom-up approach. That's what we do.
Amazing. So do you, is it something that, you know, right now I can go and I want to be part of it, I want to try it out? Is it
yes,
the product ready?
Yeah, it's there. We have, I think, like, in the next month, we can take in a few more companies because we're sort of almost at full capacity. But if you go to our website, it's velbi.io. Maybe you can have it in the show notes
absolutely,
or something.
We put it in. Sounds quite Estonian as well. So, Velbi.
And Finnish, because we have a lot in common. So you go to our website and you pick a show me how demo. You can book a time with me for 15 minutes. You put in a code, Talent Hub Podcast.
Oh, nice.
You're going to be able to get a 50% discount for your first 2 months. And you're going to be able to chat with me for 15 minutes for whatever that's worth. Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to work with, I think your listeners, probably a lot of them work in fast-paced companies where we see this problem a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, but so everybody who want to hear more and then, you know, really in the, see the product itself, so velbi.com.
Velbi.io.
Io, sorry.
No worries.
Velbi.io.
It's my job to to remember the website of my company.
And the code Talent Hub. But when we're talking about AI in the burnout, how do you see where the future is going, this direction, like how AI can help?
Well, AI can we think that this sort of like one size fits all leadership era is over, and it's one size fits one, which basically is a fancy way of saying that we're all individuals mm-hmm. with individual needs, and leaders need to cater that. Like I said, a great leader knows their people and can help them individually, but that's not always possible. So we're basically just scaling that by using machine learning and AI to help every single individual on your team, even if they don't have that very personal support from a team lead who only has five people. So we're finding ways to do that and make it accessible and easy. So that's and affordable. So that's how I think it should work in the future as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So our time is limited to today.
I know.
It's gone so fast. But quickly, the last two questions.
Let's do it.
Yes, so
I'm
quickly.
Ready.
So who are those one person who inspires you?
Oh, God.
One.
you are going to find out what a massive nerd I am. I hope that you don't lose listeners over this. But there is an old television show called Star Trek, The Next Generation. And they explore the universe in a starship. And there's a captain called Jean-Luc Picard, who is a very upstanding person, always supports their team, makes good decisions in tough spots, is very empathetic, high morality, so is not willing to compromise on their important values in difficult situations, and always puts their people first. So I sort of aspire to lead... I watched that when I was a kid, when it was on TV, and it sort of stuck with me. And
okay.
Yeah.
So now we got the recommendation for watching something, but do you have any reading or listening?
Thanks. One book that has impacted me a lot and has impacted our work a lot is Atomic Habits by James Clear. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of it. You're nodding. So I think you, yeah. So it's a fantastic book about how you can build healthier habits. And that's also like how I see fighting burnout is basically just building better habits. So if you have the chance to read it, I think you should take a look.
Okay. Thank you, Pia. Thank you for sharing a little bit about your burnout, a little bit what you're doing. Wellbeat.io, I know you have the blog there. Now I put the pressure on you to add more articles there as well. But to get a little bit more about the burnout and how we as employers can prevent the things, and we as a human being ourselves as well, what we can do personally to understand and make it stop and or go or end it. So there are a lot of information I went it through. So
yeah, we try to share as much as we can, because that's the only way that we can really help everybody as much as possible. Yeah, go take a look, and you can also reach out to us if there's something specific. We always try to help everyone who asks for help.
So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been really, really, really great to have this chat with you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Success.
Thanks so much.
Oh gosh. Oh wow. Yeah, those were really good questions.
They were very good answers as well. It's just